You did it, Bristol Bay. You broke 1 million fish cumulative harvest for the season. It's Monday, June 25th. I'm your host, Avery Lill. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Coming up on tonight's report, Dr. Curry Cunningham with the University of Washington helps put catch and escapement and port molar numbers in context.
Last year we saw large numbers of fish to the west side of Bristol Bay, and so far, from what we know, most of the catches out of port molar seem to be bound for the west side.
Then, continuing our theme of finding fisher poets among the fleet, we bring you Maggie Bursch of the fishing vessel Georgette Rose.
Then I turned and looked him in the eyes, all fiery and bright, and said, "I know who you are. You corked me off last night. I was on the fish just off the bar, and you brought your shore boat in. Laced me up, cork to cork, just as they were starting to swim."
Also on tonight, we've got a couple of letters for the fleet. Again, if you want to get your message out to someone on the water, give us a call here at the station, 907-842-5281, or you can email me, avery@kdlg.org. That and more on tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Numbers, numbers, numbers. Total harvest across the five district is sitting at 1,240,000 for the season. The Nooshiegak district was the only one with nets in the water yesterday. The fleet brought in 475,000 fish. Total Nooshiegak harvest so far is 1.2 million. The average drift delivery on Sunday was 450 sockeye. Total escapement in the Nooshiegak yesterday was 21,800 sockeye for a season cumulative of 263,000. Let's break that down by river. The Portage Creek sonar counted 1,800 kings for a season total of 45,000. It counted 3,500 reds for a season total of 36,400. It counted 15,000 chum for a season total of 215,500. The Wood River saw 15,400 reds yesterday, and another 9,600 this morning before 6 a.m. for a season total of 181,500 fish. The Igushik Tower is in its third day of counting. Yesterday, it saw 3,000 reds, with another 570 before 6 o'clock this morning. That brings the cumulative total to 5,500. Igigik more than doubled its escapement yesterday. 59,600 sockeye made it upriver to spawn for a season total of 86,300. The Naknek-Quijek district also doubled its escapement. 3,642 Sunday for a season total of 6,012. By river, still no escapement on the Alagnak. The Quijek posted an escapement of 24 fish for a cumulative of 66. The bulk of the district's escapement came from the Naknek River, 3,618 fish, making the river's season total 5,946. Now to vessel registration, as of 3 o'clock this afternoon. In Igigik, 309 permits on 253 vessels, 56 D-boats. Igigik will add 5 boats in 48 hours. In Naknek-Quijek, 73 permits on 66 vessels, 7 D-boats. Naknek-Quijek will be adding 1 vessel in 48 hours. Most boats are hanging out in the Nooshiegak District. 1,016 permits on 756 boats, 260 D-boats. Another 8 boats will join the Noosh in 2 days. In Togiak, 25 permits on 25 boats. Those numbers will remain stable for at least 48 hours. In Ugashik, 21 permits on 17 boats, with 4 D-boats. Those numbers will also remain unchanged for 2 days. A total of 1,444 permits on 1,117 vessels are registered across all 5 districts. On Friday, 1,463 permits will be registered on 1,131 boats. That's it for Bristol Bay. We've been watching the Chignik Run, and numbers are still at a historic low. 15,000 sockeye made it past the weir yesterday for a cumulative run of 83,000 so far. Still no commercial openers there this year. The surrounding villages have been meeting to discuss how to deal with the situation and how to reach out for help. KDLG's Mitch Borden is traveling to Chignik Bay tomorrow, and we'll have that update from him later this week. Let's go to the Port Mueller numbers. We have numbers for yesterday and today. Yesterday, a total of 66 sockeye were caught in the 4.5-inch mesh, 49 caught in the 5 1/8. Station 4 caught 1 in the 4.5. Station 6 caught 3 in the 4.5 and 3 in the 5 1/8. Station 8 caught 11 in the 4.5 and 2 in the 5 1/8. Station 10 caught 5 in the 4.5 and 9 in the 5 1/8. Station 12 caught 9 in the 4.5 and 2 in the 5 1/8. Station 14 caught 9 in the 4.5 and 12 in the 5 1/8. Station 16 caught 12 in the 4.5 and 23 in the 5 1/8. Station 18 caught 15 in the 4.5 and 14 in the 5 1/8. The Icelander brought back samples from Station 4 through 20 on Friday, so the Pandalus spent the night at Station 4 yesterday rather than going to the port to deliver samples, and that meant that they were able to reach all the way to Station 18 yesterday. Now for the numbers today. They didn't sample at Station 2 or Station 4, so starting at Station 6, 10 sockeye were caught in the 4.5 and 10 in the 5 1/8. At Station 8, 2 in the 4.5, and 4 in the 5 1/8. At Station 10, none in the 4.5, and 1 in the 5 1/8. At Station 12, 1 in the 4.5, and 7 in the 5 1/8. In Station 14, 26 in the 4.5, 28 in the 5 1/8. Station 16, 16 in the 4.5, 20 and the 5 1/8. Today's total, 55 sockeye and the 4.5, and 70 in the 5 1/8. Average daily index from station 2 through 10 catches for today was 16. That's it for the numbers.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Now we have all of these data points. We bring you these fish numbers every day, but how should we be thinking about the overall shape of the run to Bristol Bay so far? Here to put these numbers in context, we've got Dr. Curry Cunningham with the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute. Dr. Cunningham, thank you so much for making time to talk today.
My pleasure.
So we're in the last week of June. Nooshigak is seeing some big catches, which we might expect since we've seen that large forecast. But the east side districts, Igigik and Ugashik in particular, are behind where they were last year. So let's talk about the east side first. What do you make about the way things are shaping up right now?
Well, we're a bit behind where we were last year. Obviously, last year we saw large numbers of fish to the west side of Bristol Bay. And so far, from what we know, most of the catches out of Port Mueller seem to be bound for the west side. Now, that's based on both the distribution of fish across the Port Mueller transect. Fish catches on average higher at the outer stations, which usually indicate they're bound for the west side, and also in the genetic composition in both sets that have been released. West side stocks are running between 70 and 80% of the catches out there.
And there's a lot of interesting data coming out of Port Mueller. I mean, for the first time, they had that second boat fishing the transect for a week. What stands out to you about the data coming from the stations further offshore?
Well, as opposed to past years, we actually know how many fish are passing the end of the area, beyond the end of the transect traditionally sampled. And we see that the majority of catches have occurred out past Station 12 and Station 14 this year, again, suggesting they're probably bound for the west side.
So how valuable is it to have that extra boat fishing then?
I think it's been very valuable this year. It's allowed us to identify that in the indices that we use that are based on or compared to traditional data out to station 12 or 14, we know that the number of fish expected to arrive inshore per fish caught across stations 2 to 14 is likely to be higher than average.
Gotcha. And I know that Port Muller's average peak is June 28th. Mm-hmm. For the Nooshiegak and Wood Rivers, those are dominating the sample catches right now. Do you think those are peaking early, or what about the other districts?
It's hard to know. One of the things we do know is that based on the genetic composition as well as the age composition, the majority of those fish are bound for the west side. You know, when we see those Igigik fish come past the transect, I would expect to see catches shift slightly more inshore, so higher catches at the inshore stations. We'd also expect to see a higher representation of both the 2-2 and 2-3 age classes in what's being caught out at Port Muller. Now, up through the 19th, about 90% of the fish caught out there so far this season are one-check fish, meaning they spent 1 year in freshwater. Those are the 1-2 and 1-3 age classes. So as we start seeing those Igigik fish move past the transect, again, in addition to the genetic composition estimates, catches closer inshore, as well as a shift to both 2-2 and 2-3 age classes.
As far as just the shape of the run on the west side, what are you thinking? What are you seeing right now?
Well, obviously, both our preseason forecast and Alaska Department of Fish and Game's forecast for the west side is quite high compared to the recent average. We're seeing fish arrive here. The first bumps or bumps up in Port Muller test fishery catches occurred on the 19th and the 21st. Now, it usually takes about 6 to 7 days for those fish to move from the Port Muller transect to the Nooshiegak district, so we should expect those fish to be arriving today through the 27th, if they have average travel time between the transect and Nooshiegak district. But as we all know, that travel time varies as a function of weather, wind, what have you, and it could be as long as 9 days.
So is this year looking much like you'd expected at this point?
I think so. Given the magnitude of our preseason forecast for the west side, we would expect a lot of early season fish to be coming headed this direction to the Nooshiegak district. And in reality, when we look at catch and escapement or what's arrived inshore so far this year, through yesterday, the 24th, we have about 1.6 million fish observed as catch or escapement so far. Obviously, that's lower than last year. We had about 3.8 million through the same date. But in 2016 and 2015, we had between 1.27 and 1.47 million observed through that point. And those were runs of 52 to 59 million. So we aren't behind the ball in any sense.
So it sounds like it's not too much of a cause for concern that they've not showed up so much in the east side districts.
No. What I would like to see over the next few days for that Igigik component to be coming through is, again, that distribution to shift inshore, higher representation of Igigik stocks in the next set of genetic samples, as well as higher representation of those 2-2 and 2-3 individuals that make up about 65% of our Igigik preseason forecast.
And then in terms of data that's coming up, is there anything that you're looking forward to seeing that's going to give you a better sense of about this run?
Yeah, as I said, the last set of age composition samples from Port Muller were between the 18th and the 19th. So the next set that comes out, again, we're going to be looking very closely at whether or not that 1-2 and 1-3 proportion is shifting over to being replaced by 2-2s and 2-3s, which would indicate, among other things, that some of those east side stocks are moving past the transect in greater numbers.
Okay, thank you so much for being up for doing this update with me.
My pleasure. Excellent to talk with you.
And you can keep up with how this year's run is shaping up with FRI's preseason forecast online at depts.washington.edu/AK/salmon/in-season. We'll also have that link online when we post this tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. And that's on kdlg.org. Fishing in Bristol Bay can inspire all sorts of emotions. Anger when you get corked off, fear the run isn't going to come in, and euphoria when the salmon start hitting nets. It can also be really hard to explain to people who've never done it. So Maggie Birch says she tries to explain her experiences in the bay, in life, with poetry. KDLG's Mitch Borden sat down to talk with her about salmon, fishing culture, and her writing. He brings us this profile.
As far as she can remember, Maggie Birch has been coming to Bristol Bay to fish.
Every year of my life.
Birch is the skipper of the fishing vessel, Georgette Rose, and aside from running her own boat, She's also known as a Fisher poet. Bursch says she began dabbling with poetry when she was in third grade. At that point, she says she mostly wrote about things like kittens. But it didn't take too long for her to begin focusing on fishing, so she could explain her experiences to others.
We fish in the summers, but then we go off, and a lot of us don't fish in the winters, and we do other things, and it's really hard to explain to people what it is we're doing up here for 2 months out of the year.
So she began writing poems describing the day-to-day grind of salmon fishing, like this one she wrote when she was about 13.
Called the Bristol Bay Rap. Gill netting, set netting, pilot point, Bristol Bay, sockeye, red salmon, have it your own way. We've got 1, 2, 3 too many to count. Let the fish run in, let the tide run out. Let your hands swell up, let the blood run cold. You gotta be strong if you're young and tough if you're old. Orange fish picks, red knives, silver scales of the fish. It's not easy pigeon flounders being Peter Pan's. We drink blood, breathe gurry, taste cash on our lips. We live in the rivers, sleep in the skiffs. We've got slime in our hair and salt in our eyes. And if it doesn't break you down, then you better rise. Because we've got hundreds of thousands of pounds to pick. Then shake, bleed, sell before you're licked. High hepatitis, tendonitis, fish poisoning. This is going to get dirty, so don't try to stay clean. With 50-knot winds, we look to the skies, hauling gas cans around, mud up to our thighs. Dreams are reality. Reality is fantasy. Nightmares all night, and I'm losing my sanity.
It's really interesting to compare the poetry Bursch is currently writing to what she wrote in the past. There always seems to be a gritty quality to her work, but the way she interprets her experiences and the region's fishing culture is maturing. Her next poem is a great example of this.
Red Dog. That night the wind was blowing, the rain was pounding too, and I was freshly off the boat looking for something to do. The season had been a good one, few breakdowns, not a bad catch, but I was happy to have my feet on the ground with this wind a-blowing west. So I ambled up the harbor to the nearest bar in sight, and before I ducked in from the storm, the smell hit me through the night. The stench of old men rotting in humid coastal air. A whiff of too much whiskey finished off with a beer. I found a seat up at the bar and ordered a double on the rocks. Just let the liquor cut down my throat, happy to be off the docks. The waitress was all curves and skin, a missing middle tooth. Her arms were wide, her hands were strong, all covered in tattoos. She gave me a look I know too well, being female in this world. It said both, "This bar is mine, you f***ing..." "I got your back, my girl." The men on either side of me looked worse for wear than me, like they'd been sleeping in the fish holds and f***ing upwind at the sea. To the left, while he was younger, could have been handsome too, but his beard grew long and patchy, and his lip was packed with chew. He had 2 cans in front of him, Bud Light and 7-Up. Well, one he kept drinking down, the other he was filling up. The man to the right, while he was talking, beneath a watery spit, he swayed as he grumbled, but his piercing eyes were lit. "You," he said and points at me, "you look young and proud. Got a husband? 'Cause I got a wife, but baby, she ain't around." He could have been my grandpa's age, a decade younger too. You never know what years at sea or in a bar will do. I looked into my whiskey, thinking of what to say, swirled the ice and drink about until I'd made some waves. "You hear me? I said you're pretty. What you doing in a place like this? With lips so pink and rosy, it's like they're begging to be kissed." I could tell the waitress was watching to see what I would do, to see what I was made of, but she was laughing too. Then I turned and looked him in the eyes, all fiery and bright, and said, "I know who you are. You corked me off last night. I was on the fish just off the bar, and you brought your shoreboat in. Laced me up, cork to cork, just as they were starting to swim." He jerked back and looked up, then smacked his hand down hard. "By golly, you run that boat? I saw you in the yard. My cousin used to own that boat back in 69. One time they caught him all deck loaded, 2 miles over the line." He chuckles and slumps a little, barely staying on his stool. When he was talking, he was spraying spit, but now it's all just drool. "Cousin passed last December, cancer of the throat, but yeah, yeah. The Mary Lynn, that used to be his boat." There's a silence in the drunken buzz. My cheeks feel warm and dry. I suck on ice and close my tab and think about the storm. Then I place my hand on his arm and look at him straight on. His eyes are duller now, they're turning gray, for tonight the fire's gone. "Have a good night," I say to him, "and a good winter too. Be safe out there," he says to me, "and kid, don't get married too soon." Then his eyes are back, clear as glass, and he beckons for me to come close, like he's got some kind of secret that he wants me to know. Then as I lean in, he gives me a smile and kisses me right on the cheek. It's wet, and long and lingers there, the smell of rotten teeth. I give him a slap and a knowing smirk, and he laughs to himself as I leave. I think about men and fish in the wind, and then I wipe my face on my sleeve.
Bursch says that this poem is filled with love even though it depicts some ugliness. She adores the community up here and the people it's allowed her to become close with, many of whom she may not have associated with outside of fishing. She says here, the bond salmon create among people bridges a lot of things.
I think it doesn't really matter who we voted for, what we believe in, or why we're here. We're just here and we're working together.
Bursch's writing touches on all sorts of themes, but most of them seem to lead back to the one topic that really lights her up.
What's your favorite part about being out on the water?
I like catching fish, yeah. Yeah, I just love, like, watching the net when fish are hitting it, and it's just, like, you're like, yeah, we're catching fish, and there's nothing cooler than, like, watching a fish get, like, hit your net. It just, like, sprays, and it's just so exciting.
Bursch is now in the water with her crew, and they are among the thousands of fishermen putting their nets out to catch this year's batch of sockeye. In Knack Knack, I'm Mitch Borden.
The last piece of news we have is an update on the fisherman who passed away near Dillingham last week. Details are still thin on the ground, but Alaska State Troopers have released his name. 34-year-old Timothy Toro was working on the fishing vessel Patience. The United States Coast Guard received a distress call that Toro was suffering from a medical condition on Wednesday. The Coast Guard alerted Alaska State Troopers in Dillingham. Toro was transported to the Kanakanak Hospital, where he was declared dead. The state medical examiner's office has not yet released a cause of death. Troopers will continue to investigate. No foul play is suspected at this time. Our thoughts and condolences go out to Timothy Toro's friends and family. Before we go, we do have some letters to the fleet. Walt Maslin from Gakona, Alaska, sends a shout out to his son working on the fishing vessel Hindsight. Walt says, "Mom and I hope that you are doing well and catching lots of reds. Give us a call when you can. Love, Dad." We've also got another one from Feldman to Eric Mitby on the Orca. Feldman says, "Angelina misses you. Is the bank password still SockEyeMan5? And that's spelled out with the number 5 in all caps. So again, Feldman to Eric, "Angelina misses you. Is the bank password still SockEyeMan5? That's it for tonight. We'll have more features and information here on this program throughout the season. And again, if you'd like to get in touch or give some perspective, give us a call at 842-5281 or send an email to me, avery@kdlg.org. avery@kdlg.org. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. Thank you. I'm Avery Lill. Good night. Good fishing. See you back here tomorrow.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
Support for KDLG comes from Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay. Fishermen working together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region. Please join us in standing for salmon. Text JUMPER to 907-268-4905 to get involved and be entered in to win a $200 Alaska Airlines or a $200 LFS gift card. Or visit our website at fishermenforbristolbay.org. Brought to you by Commercial Fishermen of Bristol Bay.